You've come to the right place. If you're looking to create, launch, and scale a high-value online training program, I'm your guide, Chris Badgett. I'm the co-founder of Lifter LMS, the most powerful learning management system for WordPress. Stay to the end. I've got something special for you. Enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of LMS Cast. I'm joined by a special guest from the other side of the world, down under in Australia. It's Miriam Castilla. She's from miriamcastilla.com, two L's in Castilla. Welcome to the show, Miriam.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm really excited to get into it with you today. We're going to be talking about creating wealth, mindset around money, abundance, entrepreneurship, your course creator journey. There's a lot we're going to get into. But let's start with a question I've seen you ask in your videos, which is, what does wealth and abundance mean to you?
Oh, nice one. To me, it's really all about choices and not having money be the thing that defines what I get to do. So it's actually about moving beyond money and not even having to think about money. For example, my husband and I now spend about 4 months of the year just traveling and, you know, not thinking about money. So that's what wealth and abundance means to me, having those kinds of choices.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about what magnetic money is.
Okay, so magnetic money is a group coaching program mainly for small business owners or really anyone with irregular income or who wants to try and figure out how to make their money work best for them. And the thing that we do there that's really quite different to other money programs out there is we do what I call marrying the magical with the practical. So we look at how do you organize and best manage your personal finances, you know, because no one ever teaches us that stuff, especially when you have fluctuating income. What does that actually look like? You know, what bank accounts do I need? What do I do with my money when it comes in? How do I decide, you know, what goes where? So we cover all of that, and we cover the mindset side as well as kind of the energetics, you know, the way you feel about your money.
That's awesome. Well, I think we're going to unpack a few of those things. Let's start with an unhealthy relationship to money. What are some patterns, mindsets, behaviors with an unhealthy relationship with money and wealth and abundance in life?
Yeah. So the word relationship, I think, is really key to helping people figure that out because, you know, what's a sign of an unhealthy relationship with your significant other? You know, it's when you start avoiding each other, talking badly about each other behind each other's back, start, you know, having less than pleasant feelings towards the other person and maybe not always expressing those. So it's kind of the same with money. And I say to people sometimes, if money were a person in your life and they knew how you really felt and thought about them, you know, would they want to hang around you? And so, you know, it's having that, if you notice yourself having that love-hate relationship with money, you know, you want more, but you feel let down by it, or you're uncertain or uncomfortable even dealing with it, you know, managing it. Sometimes people avoid looking at their banking altogether because they just fear the worst. And when we actually finally do, they go, oh, it's actually quite okay, isn't it? So I think if you mirror it to, you know, human relationships, that quickly lets you establish whether it's a healthy one or an unhealthy one.
I love that. Let's go a little deeper into the magical or the energetic aspect. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that, like energy around money and, you know, we've got the law of attraction and all that stuff. Take us as a guide through this world of energetics and money.
Yeah, it's an interesting area. So my background originally is as an engineer. So this whole law of attraction thing, it took me a long time to get to a point where I thought, oh, no, it's a real thing. And you can use all different language to describe it. But we all know people where money just flows to them easily. You know, everything goes really well. One thing leads to another and it's like they're blessed or something. And then we all know people, or sometimes we feel like we are the people, where it doesn't matter how hard you seem to try, it's just not wanting to flow. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the energetics, because ultimately you want to be in a state where you do just allow that money to flow, and, you know, you basically become magnetic to it, which is why I called my program Magnetic Money. And so it comes down to, you know, sometimes the harder you try, the worse it gets. And that's because we start focusing on the lack of it and the frustration around it. And so that's when all those feelings around, oh, you know, money's driving me crazy, da, 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 da. And you just start worrying and fearing. And, you know, you can look at it from all these different levels, like even your brain will shut down and you'll stop thinking clearly and you'll stop being solution focused and open to ideas and creativity and, you know, ways to kind of move forward. And energetically, you literally shut down. So your focus is then on there's not enough. And hey, presto, that's what you tend to then attract more of, not enough. It's not working. You know, whatever you focus on expands, basically.
Tell us more about that, like getting into the sort of the attraction aspect of it. I remember I watched the movie The Secret when it first came out a long time ago, and I was really into it. And I'm like, it makes sense. And I don't know, I start seeing it everywhere. Like, your vibe attracts your tribe, is a saying. Like, what you put out there, usually more of that comes back to you, positive or negative. Mm-hmm. What kind of behaviors and stuff can we do to really turn on that law of attraction, or at least make it even more powerful than it is in our lives?
Yeah, totally. So a little backstory with The Secret. When that came out, I was going through what I call my broke single mum phase. And I used to have it, you know, just playing all the time in my house. My kids were going nuts. And one of the teachers I really loved on that was Mike Dooley. And I used to, because he would just sum it all up by saying thoughts become things, which is really the crux of, you know, the answer to your question. And I used to think, wow, that's so simple, so cool. Imagine if one day, you know, I could teach something like this or work with someone like that. And I actually do now. I'm part of Mike Dooley's team, and we actually deliver his Infinite Possibilities Trainer Program. So, you know, thoughts become things. And so what can we do? If you want to sum it up, it's about being clear on these desires without being so attached to them that we completely lock ourselves down and, you know, get in our own way. And when it comes to money, it's really about something it's as simple as focus on the abundance that's all around you and how much you enjoy it and how much more you want of it and all the cool things you can do with it. And it kind of opens you up energetically to attracting more of it and to actually seeing and becoming aware of all the ways that that can happen. And what tends to happen for a lot of people, and they don't even realize it, is because they want more money in their life, they are actually inadvertently focused on because it's not enough. So it comes down to, you know, what you focus on expands, but if you focus on the lack of money and that you want more because there's not enough, that's what you get more of. And you need to be able to turn that on its head. And it does feel a little counterintuitive sometimes, because by focusing on what you've already gotten, how much you love it and what it gives you, you actually then attract more of that energy, ergo more money to let you do more cool things. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I think just to maybe clarify it a little more, could you speak to how it works in personal relationships? So for example, if you're looking for a life partner, or you're looking for more friends that lift you up instead of pull you down, like, what would you need to do to attract those things?
Yeah. So you've got to be that thing first, right? If you want to attract really cool, fun people, to hang around with, you've got to be one of them yourself. If you want to attract a really loving, caring partner who's got their act together and doesn't come with a whole lot of, you know, baggage, let's say, then you've got to figure out your own stuff and be really grounded in yourself. and we all know this, you know, we tend to have like different places, different faces, same problem. And that's because we're bringing ourselves along and maybe we haven't grown and evolved yet. So you've got to become the thing first to attract the thing. And it goes for relationships, friendships, you know, you can insert any topic, even down to health. You know, if you focus on your well-being and how much you appreciate it, your body is going to start functioning better because, number one, you're not in a stress state, and you start attracting more opportunities and good health into your life. So it works on every single level of life.
That's wonderful. Zeroing in on that, if we look at a pattern that a lot of people end up in, especially when they're first starting as an entrepreneur, particularly if they're, let's say, in a more of a business niche, sometimes there's this advice of fake it till you make it kind of thing. But so how do we, with authenticity, you know, become what we want to be first, even if we're not quite there yet with our business or our income or whatever it is? Like, give us some nuanced advice there.
Yeah. So I think the fake it till you make it, it can be a little bit of a slippery slope, because sometimes people feel like they need to pretend there's something they're not. And it's not really about that. It's more about confidence that it's all going to work out fine and really putting yourself in that space and into that energy. And so, you know, fake it till you make it is about being open to all the cool ways that that can happen and actually training your nervous system and you're literally laying down neural pathways that see that as your normal. So, you know, I'm big on visualization because I'm also a hypnotherapist. And visualization is a wonderful way to condition your body to feeling success, you know, abundance, all those cool things. You're literally training your body chemistry and getting your body addicted to that state. And then you will naturally, unconsciously, keep seeking out more ways to make that happen. And also on the level of neural pathways, you're laying that down and it becomes kind of a, you know, a routine track that your brain travels down. So when you think about the future of your business and your goals, you see yourself accomplishing them, you see yourself achieving them, and it kind of becomes, you know, an acceptable state. It becomes a first response. And then you naturally, unconsciously tend to act more and more in accordance with that. So to me, that's what fake it till you make it is about. And it's about, you know, really believing in yourself, starting to see it, starting to believe it, and elevating your self-image. So I think a cool way to sum it up is I heard Bob Proctor a long time ago say, you cannot outperform your own self-image.
Mm.
And that's what it comes down to, right?
Wow, that's very good. I noticed on your website, and for you out there, head on over to MiriamCastilla.com. Money habit archetypes. What are those? And take us to school.
Okay. So a lot of people will kind of say, oh, I seem to have all these money blocks, or I must have lots of limiting beliefs around money. Now, I'm fundamentally lazy, and also I like to make things really simple. So rather than thinking about a million limiting beliefs that get in our way, if we actually go a level above that, it's all just part of a greater story, right? So how do I know what this story is that I've programmed myself with? Well, look at what you do with your money, because that's the ultimate expression and end result of whatever's going on internally. So it's really simple at the end of the day. The easiest starting point is to look at your general habit pattern around money and begin there and then work your way backwards. So money habit archetypes are the way you tend to naturally and unconsciously treat your money. And I break it down to just three categories, and then we go from there. And the three categories are overextender, where there's always more going out than coming in, spender, where it comes in and whoops, there she goes, and accumulator, which is the person that no matter how much or how little comes in, they will manage to squirrel some away, and that's their default programming. So that's what the money habit archetypes are all about.
is the goal to like kind of take the best parts of all three or just become an accumulator?
No, look, the goal is not necessarily to become, well, the goal is to become, to have a healthy money pattern. So my belief is, I think the only one that's really not going to serve anyone is the overextender, because you're going to keep going into more debt. But you can be a really healthy spender money habit archetype where, you know, you're just living in the flow of abundance, where money comes in and it goes out again. You spend it, you invest it, you give it away, whatever. But it's not coming from a place of because I don't deserve to have my own. It's coming from a place of there's plenty for everyone. It might be a little bit of a utopian dream of mine that that's actually possible. I think for most people it's about becoming more of a healthy accumulator pattern and healing really the unhealthy belief systems that keep them stuck in an unhealthy pattern. Because having said that, you know, most people think I need to be an accumulator. And the thing is that most of the people that are actually attracted to me and my work are accumulators. And what's driving them is an unhealthy fear or belief that it's still not enough, you know. And what I don't want to perpetuate is what I call broke millionaire syndrome, because there are plenty of people who've got loads of money and are really stressed about it. So you don't have to have loads of money to feel like a millionaire, or even to live like a millionaire for that matter. So a healthy towards the accumulator, you know, kind of pattern, archetype and expression and relationship with money is kind of the ultimate goal. Yes.
How did you in your life get this focus on money and abundance? Like, where did the passion for this area of life develop for you in your story?
How long have we got?
plenty of time.
So I think the lights went on for me around this. I went through a divorce. I mentioned my broke single mum kind of period. I went through a divorce, and that was when I heavily got into The Secret and really embrace that sort of spiritual side of life. And I dug really deep. But at the same time, I think, you know, being an engineer and being half German and all of that made me really take good care of my money as well. So I kind of did it instinctively. And then the interesting thing is that what was born out of that period in my life was a business in finance. And that meant that I got to see other people's finances and where they were at. And it was a really huge eye opener, because the people who had large incomes were often the most stressed about money. And just because somebody had a great income didn't mean that they were financially stable or were building their wealth. Sometimes it was the people on quite modest incomes that actually had assets and, you know, that kind of financial stability. So that was a huge eye opener where I thought, oh, it's not just me. And from there, I got really passionate about helping people understand that, you know, it's what goes on in here as well as having the skills that you have to bring together at the end of the day if you want to have a healthy relationship with money and actually not just have the money in the bank, but also feel great about it and feel like it's enough and feel safe and secure. So that's the short version of that story.
Very cool. Tell us the part of the story of becoming a course creator. For example, I see on Udemy you have over 4,000 students over there. How did the, like, okay, I'm really passionate about this topic to I want to teach and I want to figure out how to put that on the internet. How did that happen for you?
Yeah. So I initially started coaching people one-on-one and quickly realized that, you know, that can only help me reach so many people and there's only one of me. And also I find that I love teaching. I really love, maybe it's because I love talking, I don't know, but I love teaching and I like breaking things down into simple actionable steps. I think that's kind of the engineering background. And so it just lent itself naturally to building a course and being able to reach more people. And I think the other part, you know, not only does a course help you leverage yourself, your time, you know, build this beautiful leveraged income and reach a whole lot of people, it also helps those people find a community. And I think that's a really important thing too. It's not just me telling them something. It's them being able to interface and connect with other people on the same journey who they can maybe relate to even better than myself. Because often what happens as the teacher who's lived it and been through it all, sometimes you seem a little removed to the student. And so having somebody nearby who's maybe just one step ahead of them is a really great thing. And it just happened naturally, I think. It just seemed like a no-brainer, to be honest, to build a course and just reach more people.
That's awesome. On the course topic specifically, and as it relates to kind of becoming your most authentic, positive, abundant self, I see a lot of people get hung up on figuring out what to focus on, like what niche or what should I make my course about? What part of, creating an abundant life, can you offer some advice around selecting your focus and your, like your topic for your course or your website or your coaching program so that it's in alignment and has the highest odds of success for that individual?
I like that you said the word in alignment, because I think that's really critical. A lot of people will create a course because they think it's going to sell, or you know, it's just a very economic decision. And you know, for some people that may work out okay, but I find most people who want to create their own courses are actually driven by something a little bit deeper. You know, they want to make an impact, they want to make a difference in the world. And so tapping into that and the way that truly lights you up, I think is really important. So it has to feel in alignment. There's an exercise I take some of my VIP clients through called your unconscious core values. And we do it using hypnosis so that we actually get past the, this is what I think should be important to me, to, oh, this is what is actually important to me if I'm completely honest with myself. And so, you know, it's those things that naturally drive us internally. If we can tap into those, the things that just light us up that we're really passionate about, what's going to happen is that we forget about ourselves and we move beyond ourselves in creating the course, in the marketing of the course, in the showing up. It lets you tap into an energy that feels a bit more, you know, limitless, where you can you kind of get your rant on when you talk about your topic and get really passionate. And I think if you're just selecting a topic because you've done your market research and it says that, you know, learning how to knit scarves in three different colors is the course, and then you go research and create a course, you know, I'm not going to say it can't work, but I think if you really want to love your business and love everything you need to do to make it a success, you know, choose the niche that you feel really passionate about, where you do know your stuff and you know it's going to make a difference as well, and you can really get behind that.
Awesome. Let's talk about getting results for clients and students. You've worked with a lot of clients and you've had students and readers and a bunch of people around your work. You know, there's courses, there's coaching, there's community. What kind of pieces, if you could advise somebody who's trying to help others with this in a specific area of life, like what components make an effective program in your experience in terms of learner results?
In terms of learner results, I think for me, it's been a really interesting journey, and I would actually say stay open. Stay open and pay attention to what your people are saying, what the feedback is, and what works for them. Because I think every community will be a little bit different. And it doesn't mean that the large building blocks need to be different. It's more about, you know, how do I bring it all together? So, for example, in Magnetic Money, we've played with lots of different things, and I give myself permission to change it. So we will have practical workshops. I offer little 15-minute focus sessions with myself, you know, one-on-one, which not a lot of group course creators will do. But it works really well for my community because it's not a full coaching session, but it's just a quick check-in. Things like having accountability tends to work really well for my people. For others, it may not work well. So I think it's really important to be tuned in and not to lock yourself in too hard into those little ancillary pieces of the puzzle. But as far as the actual, you know, here's the course, log in, watch the modules, the one thing that I think will work for everybody is keep it simple, keep it short, break it down into little steps.
Awesome. And I noticed.
I hope you agree with that, Chris.
Oh, I do. I love the first part you said actually about staying open. Because like these are human beings, and yes, we've got technology between us, but ultimately it's about a human connection and a transfer of knowledge, and then people are different, and then you start seeing patterns of what works or where you can improve. And I love that you take the, you know, you offer some 15-minute one-on-ones and stuff like that, because I heard this saying once that people, like, how do you charge more or whatever? It's really what people are paying for is access. So like there's this website called Masterclass where you can learn from all these famous people, but they're not going to help you. They're not around to help or anything. It's just content. So that human connection is super important, also amongst the community of learners as well. So I like your approach there.
And I think, you know, as long as you stay in alignment and you stay in that positive energy that we've talked about, these ideas will come to you, because, you know, I don't want to coach everybody one-on-one in my program. It would burn me out really fast. But this idea of, oh, no, I can just offer 15-minute slots and they're limited, and, you know, we talk about that, please don't hog them. You know, we have an understanding that this is for the people who need a hand, and let everybody have a go. It works really well, and it I even see people talk about, oh, I've cancelled my 15-minute spot with Miriam because I worked it out myself. If anybody wants it, there's now one available again. So, you know, it actually helps people look after each other. So there's a million ways of doing things, and we just need to give ourselves permission to be open to it.
I love that. What's working for you from a marketing perspective, or attracting clients, or getting clients, or learners, customers, whatever you want to call them? What's working for you as a coach and course creator these days?
Yeah, that's also an ever changing thing, because, you know, technology changes, the market changes, the algorithms change. What tends to work really well for me is things, I'm going to give you the energetic answer, is things that feel really easy for me and that I really enjoy doing. So with content, for example, you know, I do create content, but I've stopped sitting down once a month to create a block of content, because I find that when it goes out there, I might be in a different space, or I've created something when I wasn't in the right space. So I've given myself permission to do it in a way that feels more in flow for me, which means sometimes I'll create it on the day and just put it out there, or I will create a whole batch. So I've allowed myself to be a little bit more fluid with that. Coming on as a guest on podcasts was like, duh, because I love talking. I love meeting people. And, you know, it's a wonderful way to tap into a broader audience. So I still don't have my own podcast. So I think, you know, again, what works is, yes, you've got to look at what makes sense strategically, but you also have to look at what's going to work for you, what's going to feel good, that's sustainable for you. And so, you know, having said that, I have started running ads again, because I finally kind of figured out a system that is going to work okay for me. And, you know, now we're up and running with ads again, but I hadn't run any ads for about 2 years. But I think ultimately what works for my audience is, and what works for me to bring people into my world, is for them to just, you know, like even today as we're talking, to have a little experience of what I'm all about. So to, you know, if I just put ads out there with stock images, I don't think it would be the same, because that's not the kind of people that tend to come into my program. The kind of people that come into my program are people who really want that connection and need that little bit of, I'm going to say, mothering and support to go, it's okay, you're not the only one, you're not broken, and we've got this. Because money is a very emotional topic for people, and it comes with a lot of stuff, right? So, again, it's tuning into, what's going to work for me that's sustainable, that feels in alignment, and also what makes strategic sense, and then finding those matches between the two.
That's awesome. I think you would make a great podcast host, by the way. And
it's on the list. It's on the list, Chris.
I didn't realize the wisdom of it for me at that time, but I've been podcasting for 9 years, and it's really easy for me, and I enjoy it. I get a lot out of it. I learn, I meet amazing people, I help the community. It's good marketing. It's a really cool format. A money question for you, and maybe you can give us both an energetic and an engineering answer. I see people get hung up a little bit on pricing of an online learning program, and particularly I notice sometimes some of the best people that are really good are, they have the most self-doubt or imposter syndrome or whatever, and their pricing is just kind of like hold a finger up in the air and just guess, or I don't know. But since pricing is a money and a value issue, what would you advise people?
Yeah, that's huge. So I mentioned before that we run some workshops in my community. The most popular one has been the one on magnetic pricing, because of exactly what you're talking about. And so one of the big things, it is a huge mindset issue for starters, because what's the right price for a course? There is no correct answer, right? It's whatever the purchaser believes is equivalent of its value. And so if you're the person selling the course, you've got to believe that yourself to begin with. So I think a huge issue with pricing of courses is people come into it with this, employee mentality still of thinking about charging by the hour. And then you created a leveraged product where really you're not working. I mean, you are working. You're working your butt off to market the thing in the background, but you're not working to deliver it. You're not standing up in front of the class. And so they have this disconnect where they think, well, I'm not deserving it. I'm not earning this money. And so the first thing is stop thinking about hourly rate, forget it, and look at the value you're delivering and the difference that makes in people's lives. What's that worth? If you help people save their marriage with your course, what's that worth? Just even on a hard practical note, what's the bloody cost of a divorce, let alone the emotional aspect and being able to continue in a relationship that's gotten through a rough patch? So, that value is enormous. You can't. And if you ask people who've been through that, and have maybe come out the other side of it, if you ask them, sorry, Chris, we've got a strange crackly thing. I don't know if you can hear that.
I can't hear that.
You can't? All right. I'm just going to keep talking. I just didn't want to be talking over the top of... there you go. So where was I? So if you ask somebody who'd been through that other side of it and come out the other side of it and said, what was that worth to you? Or somebody who's going through it and wants to save their marriage, they would tell you, I don't care what it costs. So if you think about it from that point of view, it quickly shifts your perspective on what the value of your course is. And if you also think about, if you can help people achieve an outcome in a shortened period of time, what's the value of that? We're all used to paying extra for an express delivery, or, yes, I want to get my whatever fixed, but can you please get it done in 2 days instead of 2 weeks? We're happy to pay extra for that. So sometimes when people can create an outcome in a short period of time or in just a few modules, say, they think, oh, but there's not a lot of stuff there. But really, that's more valuable, right? Because you've created, say, 6 modules of learning and you deliver an outcome. If you made people sit through 20 modules to get the same outcome, you would probably lose some of your audience along the way. And so it's actually more valuable. So it's about actually shifting your mindset from that employee kind of thinking we've all been conditioned into growing up, and really looking at what's the value of the outcome I'm delivering, how well and efficiently am I delivering it, and that's valuable. And, you know, just not making it about ourselves, I think, is the bottom line. You know, not making it about our self-worth and our sense of being deserving. So it's about disconnecting from that, shifting the mindset, and going to do the work on why do I feel like I'm not deserving of having an awesome multiple six-figure income from a course I created 3 years ago. You know, what's that about? And when you work on that, a lot of the kind of questioning of the value and the pricing of the course will just drop away, and you'll be able to look at it much more objectively. I'm not sure if I answered your question. Did I answer your question?
You did. You 100%. Good. Moving a little further into the journey, let's say the course is working, there's some health going on, and things someone. What I see happen to a lot of entrepreneurs is they end up on like this infinite growth mode, sometimes sacrificing their health, their relationships, even just the things they used to do for fun or friendships or whatever. What advice do you have around that for if somebody's like accumulating, but they're like in this sort of like battle fatigue where they just keep charging and they don't stop and smell the roses or enjoy life a little? What's going on there, and how do we fix it?
Yeah, I think you actually just said it, because you said they're in that accumulative space, right? So they're being an accumulator in terms of it's still not enough. I haven't done enough. This can't be, you know, all there is to it. And so they keep going, they keep pushing, they keep driving. From a mindset point of view, and a sort of what's the story you're telling yourself point of view, it's that, you know, it's not enough. I've not done enough. It's not good enough. So I have to keep pushing and driving. So it's actually about feeling deserving of taking the time out. It's also very much, it becomes a habit and an addiction, like we talked about, you know, being addicted to having to sit at your desk, to having to check your phone notifications or your emails as soon as you wake up in the morning. So being able to break all of those patterns and working on actually feeling deserving is really critical. So that you can set up structures to help you with that. You know, you can put apps on your phone that don't let you open things up to begin with until maybe you've done your morning meditation or whatever that thing is. So one of the things I teach people is, and this is sort of, it's related to what you're asking about, but it actually is very helpful in what you're asking about as well. I teach them a process, or I guess an approach that I call start high, stay high. Now, I'm not asking them to smoke a joint first thing in the morning. I'm asking them to get on a high vibration first thing in the morning, to get in a space of feeling good and just being grounded and centered. So you make that first part of the day about you getting into a good headspace. And it means don't look at your phone, you know, start with maybe a meditation or a walk or some stretching or some exercise, like something that gets you really connected to you and grounded. And when you can get started like that and get some momentum going, it helps you carry that into your day. And then, you know, things like just working maybe to a Pomodoro timer and then forcing yourself to get up and have a break. What works for me, because I do have my kind of recovering perfectionist and inner workaholic that still like to mess with me, is I will just book things out of the office for half the day. And then I know I've only got 3 hours in the office today. What's actually important? What does need to get done? So then I focus in and I actually do the important work rather than just the busy work. So setting ourselves up and kind of self-managing goes a really long way. And then at the same time, looking into those deeper belief systems and patterns around, why do I think that I have to work my ass off to deserve this? You know, why do I feel like it's never enough? What's that all about? And if you need to work with a practitioner, work with a practitioner. But just starting to ask yourself those questions, maybe journaling around them, spending some time pondering them as you go for a walk, will go a very long way towards unraveling that stuff.
All right. Well, two more questions for you. One of them is around relationships. What happens when somebody develops a more healthy relationship with money, abundance, and wealth? Let's say their partner is sort of stuck in the old place where they were. Like, of course, you want to like help your partner experience the things that you've figured out or the ways you've grown. But maybe sometimes it's not, there's just like a different money archetype there or whatever, and they're not interested. Because I know money is the root of issue in a lot of relationships. Totally. So talk to us about relationships and money.
Yeah, this is huge. And so what I found in the past, people would come into my program and 2-3 weeks into it, they'd say, this is awesome. I'm really noticing the shifts. I'm feeling so much better already. Now, what do I do about my other half? And I would be like, ignore them. Please ignore them. Keep doing the work for yourself. It is a really challenging thing. And it's for that reason that we've actually now opened up the space and said, bring your life partner for free. If they're ready and willing, because they have to be ready and willing. And so even if you don't have that opportunity of bringing them into a space where they're learning what you're learning, it's really important to stay in your own lane. As you especially do this work around money, feeling deserving, opening to receiving more, and just getting comfortable with the idea that, yeah, I'm earning great money, or I'm on my way to earning great money, and I don't have to work my butt off to do it, and you're getting comfortable in that space, you're still a little bit fragile, right? You've still got these old patterns and these old belief systems that want to pull you back into the cave of safety, because, you know, we all have that reptilian lizard brain still that just wants to keep us safe and keep us small. And so it's really important to stay in your own lane, do your own work, ignore them as best as you can, because as you become stable and this becomes your new normal, and we talked about, you know, your own self-image, as you solidify that and really get stable and unshakable in that, then you'll become infectious to them. But while you're still wobbly, they will infect you, and you'll end up in, I don't know, maybe a money argument, or they'll convince you that there is things to really be worried about and what's going on with you. You've suddenly got rose-colored glasses on and you're not being realistic, or whatever they may accuse you of, right? So it's like, no, just stick with it, do your work, and it will automatically become infectious. It just happens. So it's actually not your job to try and fix them. If you do, you're just opening yourself up to being toppled off the perch that you've just managed to put yourself on.
I love that. I saw it on your website too, the bring your spouse for free. And I was like, oh, that's such a nice touch. And that comes from a place of abundance. Like, you've already paid. You're not like 50% off your spouse. You're literally like, here's an olive branch to help if it's helpful. I love
absolutely
that.
And treating them as a fully fledged member of the community, I think, is really important as well. You know, I think it really helps the relationship as well, because now we're not just asking our members to be the messenger. We're saying, no, bring them in. If they're ready and they want this, you know, we're going to welcome them with open arms. And so it's actually shifted. My community was women only in the past, and now it's not. And I think that's a beautiful evolution of my program as well, to say, no, this work is bigger than, you know, gender and any of those kinds of things. It's important for everybody.
Well, tell us more detail about magnetic money and like who the ideal person is for the program.
So the ideal person for magnetic money is somebody who's a small business owner who maybe has been going for at least a year. Usually they're usually still in the first 5 years of their business, not always. And they find that, you know, money is an issue. They don't really know how to manage their money and manage that irregular income. And it's kind of a bit of a red hot mess. And also they have these mindset issues around how much do I charge? Oh my God, I have to put up my prices. What if all my clients leave me? Or what if my program doesn't sell? So it's somebody who wants to get their money organized, because it's actually a very important part of resolving a lot of those mindset issues. It actually helps. So it's definitely somebody who wants to get their money organized, wants to create financial stability and step into a space where they're not thinking about the money or held back by the fear around money, where they can just move forward and serve their community and know that it's creating abundance and financial stability for themselves.
That's awesome. Go check out Miriam Castilla. That's CASTILLA.com. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for doing this work. In some ways, money is a taboo subject. And like you said, it's a very emotional hot button issue. So it's great to kind of dive right in and help people in that way. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And I appreciate all the wisdom you've shared with us today.
Thanks so much, Chris. I've really enjoyed our chat. It's been awesome.
And that's a wrap for this episode of LMS Cast. Did you enjoy that episode? Tell your friends and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And I've got a gift for you over at lifterlms.com/gift. Go to lifterlms.com/gift. Keep learning, keep taking action, and I'll see you in the next episode.